Amos chapter 8, verse 11, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." I'm going to preach on this subject this morning, a famine in America, a famine in America. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd stir something inside of us this morning and help us to see, Lord, not only the condition of our country, but the cure for its condition. And I pray, God, that you would help us to see that the saving of America and the turning of America back to God will not start out into the world. It must start in the church house. So challenge those of us that are here who, Lord, are patriots to understand from your viewpoint what it means to be a patriot. Help us, Lord, to divert, at least in our own lives, head off this terrible famine that seems to be sweeping our nation even at this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Webster's Dictionary and you look up the word famine, you'll see something similar to these words: a scarcity of water or food, a general want or lack of provision sufficient for the physical need of a country or a region. You'll see this one word, want, destitution that leads to starvation. The Bible is a book that records for us some of the greatest and most grievous famines in human history. If we just study the Bible, it's amazing how many famines we're introduced to. Abraham, the father of the faithful, faced what the Bible called a grievous famine in Genesis chapter 12, and made the mistake of trusting Egypt instead of God to provide his needs. And in Exodus then chapter 26, we see how his adult son Isaac made the same foolish mistake. Genesis chapter 41, we see Pharaoh is bothered by a dream he cannot remember. We see God raise up young Joseph, sold of his brothers, enslaved by Potiphar, wrongly accused and wrongly jailed, but God raised him up to stand before Pharaoh and tell of seven lean-fleshed cows devouring seven fat cows, and seven good ears of corn devouring seven blasted ears of corn. And disaster was diverted because they had been warned and could prepare for a famine that the Bible says was sore upon the land. In Ruth chapter 1, we see Israel once again tested by famine, a famine that drove a man and his wife and two sons into Moab to seek food. Journey that ended in disaster for that man and his sons, but brought to Israel the great-grandmother of King David. In 1 Kings chapter 18, we see a famine sent to Israel because of a wicked king named Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel, and a strong and godly prophet by the name of Elijah who prayed. And because he prayed, there was no rain for 3 years, and Israel suffered in their sin. But Elijah was fed by ravens and a widow whose faith never allowed her to find the bottom of her meal barrel. 2 Kings chapter 7, we read of a famine that came to the city of Samaria. This famine was not brought about by lack of rain or divine judgment, but rather by a siege. A vast army from Syria who had surrounded the city and it refused to allow food or water to be brought to the inhabitants. Food became so scarce and desperation so great that the Bible says a donkey's head would sell for 80 pieces of silver. And, I quote, the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. That's desperation. This famine continued for so long and became so horrific that mothers were boiling their own children and eating their flesh. Famine, my friend, is one of the most devastating things that can befall any nation. And I could go on and go to other places where the Bible talks about famine. It was a famine that brought the prodigal son to his knees and then back to his father. And by the way, after the rapture occurs and the horses of judgment are loosed from their stalls in heaven, in Revelation chapter 6, look for that black horse, because famine rides on that black horse. One of the earmarks of the tribulation period will be starvation. Famine will follow war. Famine will follow judgment. Folks, if you're not saved, you do not want to be here during the tribulation period. As horrific as all of this is, let me say this. There is a far greater famine sweeping America than we read about in Bible history or Bible prophecy. Let me say it plain. America is in the midst of a famine. They're in the midst of a famine. You may say, Pastor, I drank fresh water this morning, and I know of no place in America that's deprived of fresh, clean water. Pastor, I ate well this week, and the grocery stores are full, and farmers are harvesting what promises to be another good crop. Pastor, you sound like Chicken Little. The sky's not falling, and America is facing no famine. The famine in America is real, and it's going on now. It's not a famine of water nor of food. It is a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. When a nation does not hear the Word of God, this nation will soon be robbed of that which a people must have to live in peace and purity and prosperity. The famine is not coming someday. It's right here now. This famine is not a future prediction, but a present reality. America, in all of its prosperity, is biblically bulimic, spiritually malnutritioned, and a nation of skin and bones when it comes to godliness and holiness and decency. Now, you may say, Preacher, how in the world did this happen? Why is there a famine of the hearing of the Word of God? Please listen carefully, folks, because this may be occurring in your life. Why is there a famine of the hearing of the Word of God? How did we get here? Well, let's just be honest. As your preacher sometimes says, let's be ugly honest. American people have turned their ears from the Word of God. I'm not saying you, I'm not saying your family, but as a whole, Americans have turned their ears from the hearing of the Word of God. By the way, this was predicted. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know what? For the most part, Americans do not want to go to church because they do not want to hear the Word of God. But if they do go to church, they want to go somewhere where they still will not have to hear the Word of God. They'll seek out churches that will tell them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear, and where all of the oracles of God are not preached. American people have turned their ears from the Word of God. Let me give you another observation. American preachers have sold out for comfort and convenience and have refused for the most part to preach the Word of God. Again, the Bible says that these times have been in the past and these times will be in the future. Jeremiah 5, Jeremiah prophesying in the last days before the destruction of his nation, said the prophets prophesy falsely and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? There's too many pastors that are more worried about trying to secure a book deal in their 401k than they are about preaching, thus saith the Lord. Me and my wife found ourselves in a rather unique position, and if you criticize me for doing what we did, I would not defend it. Sometimes I don't agree with myself. But when we graduated from Bible college and went to the town where we wanted to start a church and plant a church, we had about a 2 or 3 month period where we were getting things lined up before opening day. Every Sunday night, we drove whatever distance we had to drive, sometimes quite a ways, to go to a good independent fundamental Baptist church. But I told my wife for those 8 or 9 weeks, I just wanted on Sunday morning to go into the church houses that were already there in that town and hear what is being preached from the pulpits. And so I did something that I'd never done previously and I've never done since. For 9 straight weeks, I walked into the most prominent and well-packed churches in that community, and in 9 weeks I failed to hear this book preached one time. Matter of fact, there was one church in particular. By the way, you might as well understand, this is where we're at in America. We are spoiled here because we are in a church where the Word of God is standard fare. But there's many people that dressed up this morning and headed off to a church, and they will not hear anything from the Bible, anything of any substance. And my wife walked into one prominent church in Clay County, and we began to notice that people were staring at us. Finally, I figured it out. We were the only 2 people in the entire building, over 200 people in attendance that morning, the only 2 people that had a Bible, including the preacher. We found our place, a seat, and went through all the preliminaries, and finally the man who claimed to be a man of God mounted the pulpit, which should have been a pulpit of God. And he did not read one word from the Word of God. In his introduction, he read a poem that he had read on a monument there in the community. This poem did not quote the Bible or refer to the Bible or mention God. He simply quoted a poem and for 15 minutes commented on that poem. Watch what I'm going to tell you next. That man continued there pastoring at that church for several years, died, and they named a street in Brazil, Indiana, after this man. So it's not just that the prophets prophesy falsely, it's that the people love for it to be so. Are you listening to me? How did we get to the place where we have this famine of the hearing of the Word of God? American people have turned their ears from the Word of God. American preachers have sold out for the comfort and convenience, and have refused to preach the Word of God. Let me say this also. Why do we have a famine of the Word of God? And I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but it needs to be said on a Sunday morning from time to time. American Bibles have become perverted and neutered so that they no longer carry the truths of the Word of God. Now, if you're a brand new Christian, and as I was reading the Bible, or you're a visitor and I was reading the Bible, and your Bible did not read the same thing as my Bible that I was reading, let me just say this. The reason you probably have that Bible is because somebody loves you and cared about you and gifted that Bible to you, and I'm certainly not throwing any mud on them. I appreciate their kindness. But let me just say this. A lot of America is uneducated in this matter about this fact that there is a reason that there are so many translations, and let me say this, mistranslations of the Bible being sold in our Christian bookstores. I'm not going to go into this morning an examination of that or a study. I guess I'm just going to ask you to trust this preacher, and let me just encourage you, if you're newly saved in the Lord, go out and buy a King James Bible. Because the argument is, well, let's make it easier for folks to understand. And that may have been why you selected the Bible you have. But I need to educate you. I need to warn you as a Bible preacher that in the attempt to make it easier to understand, much of the Bible has been changed. And much has been left out. I'm talking about thousands of words. I'm talking about whole verses are gone. So let me say this. Go back and get you a complete preserved copy of God's words in English, and you'll find that in a King James Bible, all right? Please take my word for that. But we have had the truth robbed from us, and our Bibles have become corrupted. Say, now, preacher, what's the results of all of this happening? Why is there a reason we should be disturbed about this? Preacher, I agree with you. There's a famine of the hearing of the Word of God, but it's not in my life. It's not in my family's life. Preacher, should we be concerned for our nation? Yes, we should be concerned for our nation. Because when any nation begins to ignore the words of Almighty God, a lot of things begin to happen. They begin to lose a lot of things. And our nation in the last 50 years has lost a lot of things that we used to have. What do we lose when there's a famine of the Word of God? Well, let me give you some things to think about. First of all, when there is a famine of the Word of God, salvation is starved. Salvation is starved. I love Romans 10:13. I can't tell you the hundreds and hundreds of times I've been allowed to show this verse to a lost person. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's usually where we end in our presentation of the gospel, using the Romans road, and that's fine. But let me remind you that the Bible does go on. And how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And one of the tragedies of the fact that there is a famine of the word of God, a famine of the hearing of the word of God, is that it has robbed and starved our nation of a chance to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me just say this, and I promise you, if the verses I did not read does not prove it to you, there are many other verses that support it, but there is no way a man can know salvation without hearing the words of Almighty God. Once in a while I have somebody tell me I led somebody to the Lord without a Bible. I said, oh, really? I understand you may not physically have a Bible, but you ought to be at least quoting the Bible. If you led somebody to Christ without the Bible, I think you led them somewhere, but I'm not sure it's to Jesus Christ. Let me say this, folks. Our nation is not being saved. Our children are not coming to Jesus Christ. Our teenagers, for the most part, are hopelessly lost. Our 20-somethings have become so hardened to the gospel, so atheistic in their thinking, that they are almost salvation-proof. Where did this happen? It happened, look right up here, it happened because moms and dads wouldn't get up on Sunday morning. And by the way, I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to folks that did get up. Don't ever stop. Don't ever stop. When our nation decided that Sunday morning was no longer the Lord's day, when our nation decided that there were more important things to do on Sunday morning than go and to take their family to hear the Word of God preached, all of a sudden we began to lose a generation, and young people ceased being saved, because when the Word of God is not preached or not heard, then you know what? Salvation does not occur. Most of you in this room, you were either brought to Christ, or the seeds were planted and the seeds were watered through the preaching of the Word of God in your life. And so first of all, let me say this. One of the first results, and maybe the saddest result, of a famine in America concerning the hearing of the Bible is that salvation is starved. But let me also say this. Amongst Christians, there has become a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. Because Christians are not going to church, or rarely going to church, or picking and choosing when they go to church, or going to church but still not hearing it. Not only is salvation starved, but in the Christian life, strength is diminished. Strength is diminished when we have a famine of the Word of God. Don't you love 1 Peter 2:2? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. You know, a new convert, somebody who's newly saved, it's a natural thing, it's a normal thing to be hungry, to want to hear the Word of God. It's a natural thing, a normal thing. You know what? There's not a mother in this room that wouldn't tell you that if you take a newborn baby and deprive him of milk, very soon their strength will diminish. Very soon their very life will be threatened. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? If you've just been newly saved, and boy, we've seen a lot of young people and a lot of folks saved recently here in this church, let me encourage you, do not get out of the habit of going to church. Do not pick and choose when you're going to go to church. Every single time you have an opportunity, every single time you can, please be under the preaching of God's Word. Because as you partake of the Word of God, your strength is going to increase. You're going to become stronger in your Christian faith. Listen, folks, we must hear the Word of God. But you know, the Bible doesn't only refer to the Word of God as milk, it also refers to the Word of God as strong meat. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And you know what? Newborn babes do desire the sincere milk of the Word, but as a baby grows, you know what? Pretty soon he needs to move up to solid foods, and eventually he needs to move up to strong meat. And let me say this, isn't it interesting that the Bible talks about itself both as milk and as meat? And for the newest convert this morning, God wants to give you something from his Word. But also for those of you that have been saved the longest and know the most, there is still something every single service that God wants to give you from this book. Now, when we begin to get away from hearing the Word of God, when we allow this famine of the Word of God and the hearing of the Word of God to begin to get into our lives, pretty soon our strength is diminished. Our strength is diminished. Our strength is diminished. I've asked myself so many times this question, and I don't want you to think that I'm putting everybody in the same barrel. I'm not. But I have found myself over the last year asking myself, why is the average Christian so weak in their faith? Is that a fair question? Is that a legitimate question for our age? Why is the average person who claims to be a born-again Christian so weak in their faith? Folks, the only answer that I can find is the fact that, you know what? We are not feasting on the strong meat and the sweet milk of the Word of God that gives us the spiritual strength we need to stand for God. You cannot deprive yourself of this book and be strong in your Christian faith. Let me just say this for each and every one of you, new Christian, old Christian. Let me say this. If all you're living on is what's served from this pulpit, then you are going days at a time without spiritual meat and drink, and therefore you're going days at a time in a weakened condition. Anybody in here ever fast before? Would you raise your hand if you ever fasted? All right. How's that after a day? How's that after 2 days? How's that after 3 days? You know what? All of a sudden, you don't feel quite as spunky as you did when you were eating all the time. And yet, what we are doing is we're not fasting from physical food. We are running to physical food and fasting from our spiritual food. Let me encourage you. Listen, Christian, you're not going to be what you ought to be. You're not going to stand as you ought to stand if you do not regularly partake of the strong meat of the Word of God. What happens when there's a famine in the land, a famine of the hearing of the Word of God? Salvation starved. Strength is diminished. How about this? Godliness is gutted. Godliness is gutted. How about Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. By the word. Washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now let me say this, folks. There's there's a result of us getting away from hearing the Word of God, interacting with the Word of God as Christians. Pretty soon, you know what? We become dirtied by this world. We become dirtied by this world. What keeps you clean, preacher? What keeps your heart clean? What keeps your mind clean? It's the washing of the water of the Word. What keeps you on track? The washing of the water of the Word. Wherewithal, the Bible says, shall a young man cleanse his ways? That's a great question. Preacher, I'm a young man, and to be honest with you, I struggle against sin, and I struggle in my thought lives, and I struggle with some unholy habits. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. So what I've come to the pulpit to do this morning is to take a Sunday morning and to emphasize the importance of America just getting back to this book. The importance of Christians, American Christians, getting back to this book. The importance of the pulpits of America returning to this book. Listen, folks, there are dozens and scores and maybe hundreds of churches in our tri-state area, but I dare say that very few are preaching the Word of God this morning. Very few are. It's sad commentary on where our nation has come. So what happens when a nation gets into a famine of the hearing of the Word of God? Salvation is starved, strength's diminished, godliness is gutted. How about this? Purity is polluted. Purity is polluted. Why? Because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And isn't it interesting that God uses that sword of the Spirit as a surgical instrument to open our hearts and point out and make naked before us and naked before God the filthiness of our life, and it allows us to address those things. It allows us to repent of those things and have those things dealt with. Listen, you know what? If you're not here to let listen, some of you have had to face some surgery. This past year, I joined the ranks of those that had to face surgery. It's not fun. But I'm telling you, it is at times absolutely necessary. Nobody wants to hear about my gallbladder anymore. I'm becoming an old man. Because old people talk about two things. Their surgeries and ailments, and the restaurants they like to eat at. Because that's about all that's left. When I walked in that emergency room and I didn't know what was wrong with me, but I knew something seriously was wrong with me, and I parked my truck and with all the strength it took, walked through the doors of an emergency room, leaned on the counter, and looked at that lady with what I didn't realize till later was jaundiced yellow eyes glowing at her, and said, "Ma'am, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I'm hurting and I'm in trouble." And she looked up and took a look at me and said, "Sit down right there. We'll be right out to get you," and got me into the emergency room. Listen to me, folks. The honest truth is, I had a doctor come in and say, if we do not do surgery, I'm talking about within the next 24 hours, this could get to the point where it might not help you. Your body is poisoning itself. There's something wrong in there that needs to come out. Come on, Christian. Come on, Christian. Are you listening to me? They could have scheduled that surgery, and they did. But I could have decided, by the way, I had the right to do it as an American. I could have checked myself out of that hospital, and I could have decided not to show up when surgery was scheduled. And you know what? I would be physically dead right now if I did that. There's a lot of Christians that are, I'm telling you what, you can't find a spiritual pulse. You can't find a spiritual heartbeat. You know why? Because, folks, the Word of God is designed to perform surgery on us. And let me tell you when surgery is scheduled around here. 9:30 Sunday school. I said 9:30 Sunday school. I said 9:30 Sunday school. I said 9:30 Sunday school. 10:30 church, 10:30 preaching. How about 7 o'clock at night? How about Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock? Listen, be glad that the Bible cuts out of us, out of our heart, out of our mind, out of our will. Be glad that it cuts out of us the things that would destroy us, the things that are hurting us. Listen, I know surgery isn't an enjoyable thing. I didn't enjoy it, but it saved my life. I thank God. I said this the other day when I was speaking over in Ohio. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I've had four pastors in my life. And let me tell you what I can tell you about the four pastors that I set under my life. Number one, every single one of them loved me. And number two, not a one of them was afraid of me. And by the way, I'm thankful for both those things. Can I say this? I love you, but I'm not afraid of you. I love you enough to preach the Word of God. I'm not worried about your reaction. I'm more worried about your long-term spiritual condition. And folks, listen to me. Let the Bible do what it used to do in your life. Come on now. Remember there was a time when that sword would pierce and that sword would divide and that sword would expose something that needed to be gotten out of your life. And you know what? You had a thankful heart because it did. Remember the times when it was easy to slip to an altar? Remember the times when repentance was just part of the program? You know why? Because all of sin had come short of the glory of God. And salvation just means we're saved sinners. We still need the surgery of the Word of God working in our lives. Amen. Amen. Be glad of it. Because we're never going to be pure. Why has the church lost its purity? Why has Christians lost its purity? Why have we gotten to the point where when you're walking down the road, you couldn't tell a Christian from a lost person by action, by life, by lip, by outward? How did we get to this? Somewhere along the line, we either ran away from a church that was on a regular basis performing surgery and went and found one where we wouldn't have to be bothered by such things. Or we just kind of scaled it back. And said, you know what, I know they've got surgery scheduled for several times a week, but I think I'll just go once and I may not even really let them do what they want to do when I'm there. Are you getting this? Let me tell you one of the saddest things. And by the way, I know I'm going to talk about this spiritually, but we're going to see that this goes over into the physical, the temporal. But not only is salvation starved and strength diminished, and godliness gutted and purity is polluted, but let me give you this last thought. You know why it is so horrible when there is a famine in a nation of the words of God? Because prosperity is robbed. Prosperity is robbed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the word of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What's the result of that? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. Prosper. I promise you this is true. By the way, let me just speak first of all, to our spiritual prosperity. I know we are so materialistically minded in this day and age, we've been so brainwashed in equating materialism with success that a man in the pulpit can't mention prosperity without people thinking cha-ching. But I will tell you this, you can be poor as Job's turkey and be prosperous in the things of the Lord. Or you can be the richest man on earth and destitute. Remember Revelation? Remember the church of the Laodiceans? But let me say this also. Folks, one of the reasons that America prospered and one of the reasons we're quickly becoming destitute is even lost people generations ago respected and understood the principles of the Bible and lived by them in their business dealings. But we are now on our, listen to me, third generation. I believe we are now in our third generation that has turned their back and shut their ears to God and His Word. And you know what? We as a nation are spiraling down. We are in trouble. Oh, Brother Jerry, we had a financial crisis, but it was diverted. You have no idea what is going on. that would make as much sense. What America's doing, listen, let's suppose I came to you and said, oh, you know what, me and my wife, we are at the brink of bankruptcy, destitution, we're going to lose everything. You see me a month later and, hey, how's it going? Oh, good, everything's fine. Disaster diverted. Really, how did that happen? I just started printing money in my basement. You what? Yeah, I just started printing money. I'm pretty good at it. Printing money. So we're good. We have no fears. You know what? If you had that much sense, you'd say, son, disaster is still coming into your life. Because Bill Clinton's not on one of the bills yet. You obviously are making a mistake here. Yet we have a president that's going to come in and say, I'll save America. And what's he doing? Cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. Folks, disaster is just being postponed. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. You know why? Because we will not obey the principles of the Word of God when it comes to finances. So let me just say, there's real effects on a nation that turns their back to the Word of God and who is suffering from a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. You say, okay, preacher, okay, don't let me leave here discouraged. Come on, I came in discouraged. Don't let me leave here discouraged. Let me just give you some good news. You know what? You do not have to be a part of this famine. You can live your life different. You can live your life opposite of the ways of this world. You can pick up this book and say, you know what? I believe with all of my heart this truly is the Word of God. And I'm going to read it, and I'm going to love it, and I'm going to memorize it, and I'm going to obey it, and I'm going to incorporate its principles into my life. And I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to listen to it preached, and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit deal with my life. And you know what? In the midst of a nation that's experiencing famine, you can enjoy a feast. So let me encourage you, at least the part of America that's under the sound of my voice this morning, let me encourage all of us to just get back to this book. Just get back to this book. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand up and lift up the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I pray, God, that you'll stir our hearts. I pray that you'll help us to examine, Lord, our relationship to the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us not to live in disobedience to its precepts. Lord, help us to come. Help us to have our faith built by the hearing of the Word of God. Help us to spend time in the Word of God. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be hearers only, but doers. All of these principles, so many principles in the Bible that teach us and encourage us to get back into the book. Lord, I pray, dear God, there may be that one here this morning that's without Jesus Christ as their Savior. If they died right now, they don't know what would happen to them. Lord, this book, the Bible, is the book that tells a man how he can come to Jesus Christ. The Bible is the book that condemns sin and brings us under conviction of sin. The Bible is the book that teaches us that repentance is necessary to achieve salvation. The Bible is the book that shares with us the tenets of the gospel, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again. And it's the Bible that invites whosoever will, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, we wouldn't know how to be saved if it wasn't for the Bible. We wouldn't know how to live as Christians if it wasn't for the Bible. We wouldn't know how to have the right kind of marriage if it wasn't for the Bible. We wouldn't know how to rear our children if it wasn't for the Bible. We wouldn't know how to handle our finances if it wasn't for the Bible. We wouldn't know what's right. We wouldn't know what's wrong. We wouldn't know how to succeed. Oh God, make us a people of the book. Make us once again a people of the book. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you may be here without Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me say this, that is the starting place, that's the starting point. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. If you're here today and you've never been saved, Maybe you're not even sure what it means to be saved, but you know that God has been dealing with your heart. You think about eternity. You worry about what will happen after you die. Let me say this, that is not a coincidence. That which goes on inside of your heart is orchestrated by God. It is Him that is dealing with you. It's Him that is convicting you. It's Him that is drawing you to Himself. If you are experiencing that, please don't ignore it. God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. Salvation is freely offered to you. And the Bible encourages you and reminds you that today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. If you're here without Christ as your Savior, please don't leave lost. Please don't leave lost. Preacher, I'm not saved. Preacher, I'm not saved. Pray for me. Would you show me your hand so I could pray for you? Preacher, I'm not saved. Please pray for me. Preacher, I'm not saved. Please pray for me. Anyone else? Preacher, I'm not saved. Please pray for me. I'm not saved. Would you pray for me, preacher? Pray that I'd be saved today. Anyone else? How many say, preacher, I am saved, but I needed to hear that this morning. I needed to be reminded of the importance of the Word of God in my life. Would you slip your hand up? Heavenly Father, bless these. Bless these, Lord, and all. God, help us to be people of the book in Jesus' name.